to our chat here on this Saturday. This is the 23rd, is it? Lost track, I have to tell you. 23rd, yeah. Thank you very much, London Philharmonic, or excuse me, London Symphony. And Fanfare for the Common Man. Anyway, I don't know if any of you remember that as being the theme music from the Olympics many years ago. So our chat is wide open. I was looking at some of the chit-chat here on the in our chat box. Can I tell you guys something? The chat is going to be profoundly changed. Profoundly changed and profoundly updated. Wayne Alley. Hello, Wayne. Bernie G. How you doing, man? George McFly. Hello, George. Tell us where you're from if we haven't talked to you before. Luke D. is with us. Charlie, hello from Sherman Oaks. Hi, Charlie. Joshua, how you doing, brother? Rory McLeod is here. Michael Crosley, greetings from the weather sphincter, Warren, Pennsylvania. You got it, man. Jeff is with us as well. Rory and Paul and Nicholas and all the guys and all the regular guys. And I saw some of the chit-chat here about the buffering and shit. I didn't have any problem with it tonight. And if I haven't had any problem with it, then we haven't got a problem. No, I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, I can tell you this much. The chat feature on this show, on this website, is going to be upgraded considerably here over the next few months. I've been having some discussions with people who I value. And I've been having discussions with people who are good friends and technical people. And we've got a lot of things that we want to do here because I made a couple of decisions. And I'm just going to talk here until somebody, you know, hey, James Kaufman is with us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. James, how you doing, man? Are you here for the Fall-tacular, which is only in a month? But, you know, look at that. There is, goddamn, there's Vin Scully. Look at fucking Vin, man. I don't know what he's saying. It probably doesn't matter what he's saying. It's just he retired. He's retired this season, Vin has, and his last broadcast was the other night against the Giants. I was supposed to be at that game. We didn't go because guess what we have? We have a diabetic cat. We forgot all about our diabetic cat. And what does that mean? You have to give the cat insulin shots twice a day. Some people may think that's not worth it. Some people may say, oh, it's only a fucking cat. That's not me. I'm not that kind of a guy. I can't, you know, look at this. There's Vin's wife. Now, how often have we seen Vinny's wife? This is a big, big send-off for him, man. That's beautiful. That's fucking great. I listened to that guy when I was 10. 10, man. I listened to Vin Scully. Can't fucking believe it. Nicholas is in Michigan. How you doing, brother? Tom, you heard another season is in the works. Phil said he won't be. I won't be doing another Lions season, no. Reason for that is that the workload is enormous, and I don't mind that. But to be honest with you, it's not exactly paying the bills. You know, when you anytime you roll out anything, you know, a new piece of furniture that you're selling or anything, you want to see some profit margin. And I don't think the Lions have been a profit booster, shall we say, in the way, you know, other stuff has. So, Robert, president of my building's homeowners association here, Fall-tacular is canceled and the homeowners' fees are going up 25%. Are you shitting me? 25%. How can they do that, Robert? I mean, I was a member of a homeowners association. I guess you sign your rights away. You know, when you join a homeowners, when you buy a house, you've purchased or you've bought into the homeowners association there. Vin's last broadcast, Charlie. Charlie's asking me, and where are you at, Charlie? I thought Vin's last broadcast was the Giants game the other night against the Giants. I thought it was the other night, Tuesday night or Monday night. Fuck, I don't know. That's what I get for listening to goddamned ESPN. Chris Kemp is in Toronto. Chris, thank you very much for all the shit you've been doing, man, especially Mouth Siren Cop, the Bud Dickman. Chris is a cartoonist. He's a I don't know what you know, Chris creates cartoon characters and created the Mouth Siren Cop that you guys have probably seen. And Chris is from, actually, the matrix of the Hendry family, the Beaches in Toronto, Canada. So, you know, it's all kinds of reasons why Chris is important to us. And Chris, thank you. I have got to give your work more props on social media, which I'm going to do. And by the way, we're coming to Canada soon. We're going to be in Toronto probably next month because there's been all kinds of shit going back and forth between the Canadian wing of the Hendry family and the California wing, and having to do with my brother dying. So, you know, we got to hook up for a cocktail, unless, Chris, you aren't anybody I can be seen with. You know, I'm sure you understand. I'm fucking around. Everybody. All right. Tina. Hello, Tina. Look at that. There's a female. God damn, a female. Wait, I know I saw one. I know I saw a woman there. Hello, Tina. Don McDonald is with us. Charlie checking in from Sherman Oaks. All my friends were saying his last game was Wednesday night as well. A possible misinformation spread. Your friends were agreeing with me, Charlie. That's what I heard. Girlfriend was asking about Mouth Siren Cop just a minute ago. Are you sure it was the character that we do or some other? Anyway, thank you very much, Robert. Rory McLeod, in case anyone's interested, the new Kiefer Sutherland show, Designed Survivor, or Designated Survivor, is pretty decent. That's great. Thanks, Rory. I could give a shit, but I'm sure that... Tom, that's nothing. My association fees, he's referring to the association fees of one of the other chatters tonight. My association fees went up 300% after the hurricane several years back. We left that condo after 10 years. Our ass. Payment was more than our mortgage. Where the fuck was that, Tom? Florida, or was it the Gulf Coast somewhere? Robert, she thinks Jay Santos would have real issues. Robert's girlfriend. Bernie G. is saying hello to the King from Japan. King, how you doing? Yes, Wayne, my brother died last Monday morning, Sunday night. I got the call from my sister on Monday morning that he had passed on overnight. And we had gone dark on social media for, you know, the week, and also, yeah, social media, and not so much here. I mean, we tried to keep people up to date on what was going on. But, yes, Dara died last week. Tina, hi, MD. Chris Kemp, sounds good. Glad you like to tune in. Love him, Chris. And keep him coming, man. I appreciate it. Bryn is a female. Far out, Bryn. Thank you. I figured Bryn was a girl's name, but I also knew a guy named Bryn who was a guy in England. I think it's a guy's name in England. I think in America, only women get that name. I think in America, only women are allowed to have that name. In England, they go ahead and let anybody have it. So, Apathy, 2673. I love that damn Mouth Siren Cop. Denver needs him on our streets. All right. Jeff is getting buffering tonight, folks. He's the only one getting near constant buffering. He doesn't understand that he's got a shit can internet connection. Probably should move and fire his internet company because nobody else, as far as I can tell, is having this problem. Michael Crosley, Michael, Phil, love the show today. My dad was in the Navy for 20 plus years, and Navy was where he showed the best of himself as well. Ain't that the truth, man? What is it about the Navy or the military? That's the best that some guys have to offer in their lives. That was the best that my brother did, was when he was in the Navy. That guy achieved real rare status and was, I've got the commendations. We have the commendations. I forget the head of the Pacific Fleet at that time. It sent commendations to his crew and, to, you know, Dara, to the ships that he was on. And Dara, when he left the Navy, was a petty officer. He was a CPO. You know, he probably could have stayed in and gone all the way, man, to the top. Become a Mustang, as they say, you know, from enlisted man to, like, admiral or some shit. I don't know. Jeff, you do. You've got a fucked up computer. You've got fucked up internet. You've got fucked up internet access as well. Your company needs to be fired. King Cap is in Japan this evening. Phil, thanks for sharing your thoughts on the memories of Darrow. You're welcome, Bernie. Thank you. Tom, not to beat a dead horse, but who doesn't love to beat dead horses? But Phil, would you ever consider just doing Lions Lion every weekend and catching us up on the games with highlights? I don't think so, Tom, because it's the reality of that game, the reality of that whole, you know, that whole presentation is based upon a lot more work than what you hear on the download. There's a lot of actual, the creation of a real league, tracking of real statistics, and giving it the reality that it needs for Jack to really get insane, you know. I know there's some people probably would tell me there's an easier way to do it, but thank you, Alexis, for that. Alexis is sending lots of love and light to your fam, to you and your family. My older sister, Joanne, took it the hardest. Joanne has taken everybody in my family. We've lost three members of my family now since 1987. My father, my mom, and now Dara. And Joanne's been just, she's had her ass kicked by all three bad. And Marianne and I are the youngest. And we've dealt with it better. And I'm not sure whether that's because we sort of, there was a lot of buffering between us and, you know, the hierarchy of the family or what, but MD Phil Fan, thank you, brother. He says, he sends his condolences. Thank you, Charlie. Where are you at, Charlie? Charlie's saying he agrees with Bernie and James. I forgot one story I didn't put on the podcast today. It was a story about my brother's ex-girlfriend, Ellie. Joshua's Air Force, 23 years so far. Proud of your brother. Thank you, Joshua. Dara had this girlfriend in high school. Her name was Ellie. E-L-L-I-E. Ellen, you know. Real beautiful chick, brunette, and they went out for his entire senior year. This is very vague memory, but I remember all the time when I was a little kid, Ellie, where are you going? Oh, Ellie and I are going to do, you know. And I guess Derek hooked up with her well after high school years. I was now in high school myself, and I get these calls at the house where I was living with my mom and my sisters, and it was from Ellie. And she'd say, hi, Phil, it's Ellie. Do you know where Dara? The first calls we got was, do you know where Dara is? How can I get in touch with him? He and I had been in touch. He and I had gone out. Well, I got to talking to Ellie over the course of several weeks, because even when I was a teenager, I was a schmuck. You know, I was always the shoulder for somebody to cry on. I was just, yeah, you know, I guess I sounded just all, you know, understanding. But this Ellie called and talked to me for about 3 or 4 weeks running about Dara. Everything about their life together, he and she, and what she'd hoped for, and what is really transpiring, and what she thinks happening as opposed to what really has become of him. And it was pretty heavy, man. But I have to say, it wasn't anything that I didn't already know, you know, that Dara was capable of, you know, breaking a few hearts, that he was here today and gone tomorrow, and that here was one more, you know, person in his life that sort of bit the dust there. Did Dara and your dad patch things up before your dad's passing? No. I remember when my father died, my father was laying there dead, I had, you know, I was there, and Dara was there. Everybody was there, but after my dad died, I left the room, and I went and I talked to my stepmother. Her name's Ruth. And we were all with Ruth except for one guy, Dara. And I went back into my father's room, and they were beginning to bag my dad up, literally. Orange County was there, the medical examiner. Dara had been sitting there the whole fucking time, man. He'd been sitting there staring at my father's body like this. He sat with my father the whole time, from the time my father was dead to the time everybody left. Then there's a few doctors, everybody came back, Orange County medical examiner's there, this fucking guy's there, that. And Dara the whole goddamn time sat with my father. I knew this because he told me, and I believed him. And I think that what he was thinking, and I'm sorry if this is kind of a bummer, you guys. I don't mean to be such a fucking bummer, but all this shit. I think what he was thinking when that happened was, you know, who the fuck were you? You know, who were you, man? What was driving you to the point where you couldn't be happy that you had a son? And that, you know, you had a good family, you had kids, you had, you know, what was wrong with you, man? So, so it's a great question, man. And no, they didn't. But that's not, I'm not blaming anybody there, man. I'm sure as hell not blaming Dara. Not even blaming my father. Although, look, you are what you are, and you is what you is. If you want to have this, then you need to go and get it, you know? And if you want to have a better relationship with your father, then you have to actively work toward that. And if you want to have a better relationship with your kids, you have to do that. And if you don't, then your fucking ass is just going to sit there like a dumbass, right? So I don't think that Dara and my dad really patched things up because neither guy really made any real effort, you know? As corny as this sounds, and this is going to sound really fucking corny, but one of the best movies I ever saw for that kind of thing was that movie Ordinary People. Because at the end, when the character player Tim Hutton, he goes and he hugs his mother, he realizes she doesn't love him, but that doesn't matter to him because he loves her. And that is all that he gave a shit about. He didn't give a fuck what her feelings about him were. He just loved her. And that was a major, major step for him, that he was able to love somebody, you know. And that he was able to maintain his love for her after all the shit with that, with, you know, that went down. So what you're going to have to do is watch that goddamn movie, folks. Ordinary People, and you'll know exactly. Scott says, it sounds like your old man. I'm sorry to hear that. Let's see what's going on here. Allie, yeah, I was here, but I just found out that most of my rent money got stolen last night at a work event, so I could be... What the fuck are you talking about, Allie? What are you talking about? And how did your money get stolen at an event? And what the hell are you doing, man? You need to get in touch with me. Message me over at Facebook, Allie. Let me know what the hell you're talking about, okay? Homeless, my ass. Did I just pour that on my shirt? No, I don't think I did. Quentin is here. Hey, Quentin, how you doing, brother? Thank you, Pauly B. Thank you, brother, for the condolences. Scott is checking in and saying that sounds a lot like his dad. You know, fathers, the greatest operas are written not about, you know, mothers. They're made about fathers and what fathers do to the insides of sons' heads and daughters. Jeff is talking to Allie right now. He's offering her a place to stay. He says, I can come out of the hot tub like Steve Dooley, naked from the waist down, and shout, hey, the cobra's out of the cage. That's pretty, that'll get her. There's no question. Tina, so my sister messaged me to make sure I was okay because she heard about the shooting. Now, Tina, where are you? It's in Seattle. That shooting was in Seattle. Were you near it? Brian, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Brian, where are you at tonight? Tell us. This shooting in Seattle, I think, just happened, if I'm not mistaken. Or in the Seattle area, forgive me. I gotta find out where this goddamn thing happened. All right, let me see. News. Here we go. Allie, if you ever need to start a GoFundMe. Charlie, I remember Ordinary People. And like the comparison to which I can relate, somehow I've pissed off a lot of people in my life, but I'm still basically like them, even if they don't like me. Well, that's good, man. That's really good. I guess we should find out, if we're pissing off a lot of people, we probably ought to find out what the hell it is they're pissed off about. Where the hell is this story about Seattle tonight, man? Four killed at a mall shooting. Quentin, you're in Burlington. Good to talk to you, brother. Don McDonald, I love your perspective on life. If you want something, you got to go for it because you can't wait for it to come to you. You have to. You have to. You must. You simply must. You cannot. Thanks, Vincent. I appreciate that. You have to. Quentin, you're in Burlington off the I-5, so I'm guessing you're in Oregon or Washington or California. Burlington, Washington, located north of Seattle. And you're near that, Quentin. Four people in a shooting at a Washington mall. Suspects still at large. Police in Washington State were searching for at least one gunman Friday evening. Well, I'm glad you're safe, you know. That is super important. And I'm sorry for all that fear. Tina, it's a half hour south of Tina. And Bernie's going to be in Seattle next Friday. Quentin, no, the shooting was in Burlington. Okay, I understand. Charlie, Phil, are you aware that there is actually a suspense novelist named Ted Bell? Yes, I am. I wonder if our Ted thinks the other guy's making money off him. You know, I've seen that, and I don't really want to draw attention to it any more than that Ted Bell wants to draw attention to my Ted Bell. And I think the reason why we are able to get away with it is simply because the character has no similarity at all to the author. And we didn't create the character with that author in mind. We created that character and gave him that name simply because it was a... okay, so Tina says it's not near Seattle. I'm just learning this for the first time. I'm sorry about all this shit, you guys, that is happening out there. I really am. And, you know, it's probably pointless for me to say this, but these episodes of violence that explode onto the fucking headlines... explode onto the headlines because they are these explosions of violence that are not the norm. They just are not. They're these flashes. That's the thing that I guess people don't understand, but I don't really want to debate it right now. Pauly B, any update on the Huntington sisters? No. Pauly, why would there be? Were they shot in the mall somewhere? Maybe that's what we should do with the Huntington sisters. Get rid of them by having them shot in the mall. That would work. Alexis, at Cascade Mall in Burlington, Washington, four dead shot at Macy's. Yes. Bryn McLaughlin, the housemates here in Perth say hello and send condolences. Now, Bryn, you're in Perth, Australia? Why have you not drawn our attention before now? Why are you, and what is wrong with, look at how fucked up that is, man. Sheesh. let me just fuck the illusion up here a little bit of, Allie, totally lost my appetite. It's time for whiskey, a lot of it. Hey, Allie, people have been talking to you. And offering you money, places to stay. I mean, you wouldn't believe the shits that's been pouring here across our chat box here, Allie, for you. MD Phil fan. And there's a sovereign citizen named David Hall. I want a copy of Ted's book, Fire. That's the Ted Bell book. By the way, MD Phil fan, and the rest of you guys, when I read these comments you're making... I'm not exactly sure what they're referring to because there's a big, long line of comments being made by people. And Michael Crosley, Allie, yeah, whiskey, how about a shot? Allie, how about two? Alexis, and this is not normal for this area, so that's what's really scary. It's not normal, period, Alexis. It ain't normal, you know. It's not a normal thing. We may think that it's really, well, there's a whole thing going on. The fact of the matter is, they're scary, and they're big, and they're bad, but they're not normal, and there isn't one every fucking day, and they aren't being... It's not happening to the extent that it's now changing the literals by as we speak structure of society. These are violent, fucked-up people. You know, I heard a thing today. This family, this motherfucker that shot a Sikh gas station attendant 2 or 3 days after 9/11... And he's in jail in Arizona, and I don't know what he's doing in jail, either waiting to be put to death or just sitting on his fucking ass in on death row. And this family contacted him, and they wanted to have contact with him. They wanted to begin this healing. They wanted to forgive him. And the first thing out of this guy's mouth was, yeah, I'm really, really sorry about what happened. That was not me. The events drove me to it. The in other words, everything out of this motherfucker's face had to do with something other than him causing him to do this shit. And we're talking 15 years after he did what he did. These are not people being driven to fucking violence by violent acts. These are fucked up people. The fucked up people, you know. Because I'm not out shooting anybody, are you? I don't think so. Well, we have stronger minds. Well, yeah, okay. You mean we're better people? Yeah. We're, okay, so in other words, these are already messed up people who have been given the trigger that every psychotic or sociopath needs to go out and do the shit that they do. All right, let me look and see what is up here. Darren Richards, sorry to hear about Darrowfield. You've had a tough few months. Better luck. Thank you, Darren. Ted Bell, potato innovator. Allie, this is from Jeff. Would you ever wear a yellow leather teddy that got a Je T'aime lingerie? He said you might look like a sexy Gouda and would also give me a copy of... Okay, Vincent, I'm an actual member of the CAP, but it doesn't stand for Citizens Auxiliary Police, but for Civil Air Patrol. Yes! Scott, that's what fire can do. William Winningham, hello from East Tennessee. Hello, William. How you doing, brother? We just now saw your chat come up. William Winningham from East Tennessee. What's the city there in East Tennessee, William? Are you near a, I'm sure you're near a metropolitan area of some kind. Thank you, Quentin, very much. Dawn, shit, Phil, I thought you were on the beach. No, I'm sitting here in my studio. Oh, yeah. Can you hear that? I'm sitting here in my studio on the beach, if that's what you mean. Jeff, Bernie, 30 years of medicine and surgery have made me sick. Rich, you signing on from Vader, Washington, had internet trouble. Sorry, I'm late. Hey, Richard, it's good to see you. Thank you for being with us. MD Phil Fan, okay, an author named Ted Bell and a sovereign citizen named David Hall. Oh, I dig what you're saying. Well, David Hall likes what I'm doing and you know, and has given us permission to satirize himself. And Ted Bell, the author, is just this author who may or may not be aware of the Ted Bell character, but we've certainly not received any legal cease and desist from anybody representing him. And I believe that the reason is that the actual prerequisite for libel or defamation or you know, that kind of thing is that we... the person is similar to a living person. Ted Bell, the steakhouse guy, he may be similar to somebody, but it ain't the author Ted Bell, I don't think. Jeff says, most of us doctors are really fucked up. We just hide it rather well. Thank you, Jeff. Good truth there. Rory McLeod, I find your lack of internet disturbing, talking to somebody. Tina, no way, Rich, you are from Vader. Dude, I grew up in Longview. Used to go to Vader all the time. So we have some people that are in the locale there of where this shooting took place. Allie is talking to Bernie. Good idea. I'll try GoFundMe. I'm just one of those uber-proud people. Get the fuck out of here, Allie. You're not... Brian Anthony, your non-character talks have helped inspire me to run my own business the last 15 years. Well, then that means I'm entitled to some of the profits of that, aren't I, Bernie? Or, I mean, Brian? Kidding. Brian, thank you very much for that. If that's a good thing, thank you. Allie, I guess it's time for a slice of humble pie. Jeff, versed, halothane, enferane, valium, morphine, we get it all. We steal it from you whilst you're asleep and under the knife. Bernie G, Allie, hang in there. Just had her rent money stolen. Hang in there, kid. Allie, I don't believe you. I don't think you're going to be on the street. I bet you got money squirreled away someplace. Do you? You have to be in touch with us for us to know what to do. USC just lost to Utah 31-27. No shit. SC sucks. Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, it's an Oregon, Washington. It sure as shit ain't a Pac-12 that's run by the SC Trojans anymore. SC football just isn't what it used to be. you know, it isn't what it used to be under Pete Carroll when they were, you know. Anyway, Luke D., I remember the Dean Wheeler bit where he encouraged family members of murder victims to have a camp out with the murderer so they can understand each other better. Spend the night out in the woods with the guy that killed your fucking family member. That sounds great. Charlie, I haven't heard about the Seattle shootings until now, but wishing the best for Allie. Allie is not in Seattle. Well, I'm sure that you are not. You don't mean that. David Samarin, how's Poncho? David, thank you. Poncho's doing good, and one of the reasons why he's doing well is because we blew off the Dodger game on Wednesday night because we realized Poncho's on insulin and needs two shots a day, and there's no fucking way we can go to a baseball game and leave him in the house. So after thinking what we could do, including boarding him for one night at the animal hospital, which we didn't want to do, and I didn't have any time really to figure this shit out because I, you know, the morning dawned. The morning on Wednesday dawned, not sunny, not bright. I'm crawling out of bed going, what the fuck just happened here? Maybe all these plans are in a absolute tizzy. Lauren is gone, and so I said, fuck this, man. I'm coming back here tonight, and I'm going to give Poncho his medicine, and that's just the end of that. So what happened was he's doing great. We missed the Dodger game, and it was a 9-3 Dodger win over the Giants. I haven't been to a Dodger game in, I don't know how long, man, 20-plus years? Not that I am missing it, but Jesus, Vin Scully retired this week. I used to listen to this guy. You got to understand, I'm 64 fucking years old, and I've been listening to this cat since I was 10. That's 54 years. You know, it's, I mean, I can't even conceive of that, but he's gone now, man. You know, Vinny's gone, and good for him. You know, it's about time that cat got, you know, free of that goddamn gig. All right, let's go down the line here. I have to scroll down. Maybe what I should do is give you guys some look at what I'm dealing with here. Well, here's all you guys over here, and I had to go all the way to the bottom here. Jeff, didn't Emeralda get too close to the trumpet player? True, Jeff. Allie, Mr. Henry, no cash saved, been trying. I hope whomever stole it, bad things. Goddamn right. Phil, I work in radio here in Eastern Tennessee. William Winningham. 26 years. I know you dislike broadcasts, but that's what I do. I'm number one person, 2554. I don't dislike broadcasting. It's just that it's irrelevant now, William. Broadcasting is something that is not a part of the future. But good for you. Congratulations. Mike Nickus, Luke D. He's talking to Luke D. The upper administration I could have done without, but the bulk of the faculty, staff, and students were great. This must be something about University of Utah. Bryn. Here's Bryn McLaughlin. She's in Perth, Australia. There's some baseball down here. There's a baseball team called the Perth Heat, and some of the USA baseball players come down here when the regular U.S. season ends. Hey, Bryn, are you Facebook friends with me for just as a out of curiosity? Because I do know some South African and some Australian people over on Facebook. Allie, my first Dodger game a couple of months ago, I liked it. I'd go again. Well, guess what? You don't have the money. Oh, I'm fucking around. I'm kidding. Or are you asking to be taken? Here's your chance, guys. Dial Allie for your Dodger tickets. Anyway, Tina, Richard, yep, I know. I grew up in Longview in Kelso. Tina is talking with Richard about life in Washington State. Paul Goodman, my wife will do overnight pet sitting. She's local, Phil. Yeah, you know, Paul, that's great, man. She's got to know how to give a subcutaneous shot of insulin. I'd give the job to Jeff, but he's in fucking Sacramento. And even if he was local, I'm not so sure he'd be sober. So anyway, I'm fucking around, Jeff. I don't know. I'm just kidding. What do we got here, man? Bryn says she's usually in San Francisco, but am here for a month for a convention and to visit friends. Oh, so Bryn, you're a Northern California kind of person. All right, I dig. Paul, thank you for that offer. Paul Goodman, good man. Where are you at, Paul? She's in the area? Cool. Charlie says, first Dodger game I've been to was 2 years ago, still the only one so far. Really liked it, Charlie, huh? That's whatever. You know, baseball games, like football, like hockey, as far as I'm concerned, it depends on the seat. It depends on where you're sitting. If you've got a great seat, it's a great, great time. If you're sitting in bumfuck, I don't care, man. You know, I had season tickets for the USC Trojan football team. I had four seats right on the aisle and two steps to the tunnel where the beer stand was. I was on the 50-yard line. I mean, I'm telling you, it was the greatest goddamn football season I ever saw. This was like 2005. There were better seats than I had for the Rams down in Anaheim. 50-yard line, two, just one, two, you know. And plus, I had that walkway behind me, so you could either go this way or we could just stand on our seat and go up onto the walkway and, you know, hop over the seat. And we're in the tunnel within four or five steps. We're at the beer stand within maximum 10, 12 steps. The beer back to the seat, 15, 20 steps, the entire package of time, no more than a half an hour. Well, no, it was pretty fast. So that, I got to have that. Otherwise, fuck it, man. Forget it. I don't want to go to any. Hey, do you want to go see the Green Bay Packers? Yeah, sure. Where are the seats? You know, okay. Well, we have end zone seats, but they're real. I don't know, man. I guess I want to go to see Lambeau Field. Yes, you're right. I'll go, but that's, you know. Well, I'm so sorry. The tickets aren't good enough for you, Mr. Henry. They're not. Okay, Rory, I have a very obese cat who is probably pre-diabetic. That's nice. You going to do anything for the cat, Rory, or let it die? Let us know. That's great. Richard and Tina are talking. Sorry, crappy internet tonight. Had to scroll up to see your comments. Longview, why did you come up here all the time? There's nothing here to see you, man. To see you. All right. Mike Nickus, Scott, I finally got serious in my car and started listening to Stern a couple of months ago. I'm pretty much hooked. The best interviewer in the business, bar none. King Cap, Henry Kahn in Japan. Yes, that's what we're holding out for. Tina likes the picnics there in Washington State. Joshua, Phil, I'm going to need you to add sky feeders to the traffic report. Please, for the love of God, just need sounds from an ultrasound to make it work. Okay, sure. And if it's not funny, will you reimburse me the subscription money that I lose from people canceling? Thank you. I joke because I love. Chris James Kaufman, Sandy Koufax lived in Sherman Oaks near Fulton and Ventura Boulevard and would hand out free baseballs to us kids to play in the street. Are you bullshitting me, James? Serious? James, what are you doing in Montana, man? So you're a California kid, relocated to Montana. Scott, Mike, I agree. Howard and Phil rule it all. Well, that'd be Howard's opinion. I'm kidding. I have no idea. Pauly B., when are you bringing your Phil Henry and friends to Portland? Let me tell you something about Phil Henry and friends. Like everything else that I do, this has now become a show that's going to be about doing a character. Not characters, a character. I see the Phil Henry stand-up as much like Hedberg. Is that the guy's name? Mitch Hedberg? All these cats that portray, you know, Neil Hamburger. Cats that portray characters. I realize that's what I am. That's who I am. Now, I have to figure out which character. I've got any number of characters that could be a stand-up comic. I did Dave Oliva for an extended period when I was in San Francisco a couple of years ago. And I'm wondering who that character is. Who that character is. You, if you're going to do a stand-up act as a character, it has to be a very compelling character, one that people recognize. Neil Hamburger, you know, the character that he does, the sort of greasy toastmaster with the cocktail and, you know, on stage, you know, after everybody else has left, he's had too much to drink, he's, you know, he's a mess, right? And he has all these sarcastic things to say. Those are cool. So thank you for your question. I think I have to just kind of look into this. Phil, do you have an opinion on Howard Stern's show these days? You two are the only guys I listen to. I haven't listened to Howard because A, I haven't got serious. B, I ain't serious. C, I don't listen to the radio. D, I respect and love Howard. I'm sure he's doing fantastic. And E, I personally don't give a fuck, not because I don't like him, but because it's all sort of swill. You know, it's like pointless swill. I think that what Howard ought to do with the money he's got is get off of Sirius, just put his ass on any station that will accept his terms, you know? Go back to terrestrial, go to satellite, go to anything. And say, I'm Howard Stern, I'm available. Bang. They put him on the air, and he can do what he wants, say what he wants, how he wants. See, radio doesn't exist anymore. It exists only in the minds of people that think it's important. I mean, you have to understand, there is no real money being made there anymore. There's no money being made in radio anymore. What I said this on Twitter the other day, and I mean this. You can't. I make more money with a digital product than I've made in radio over the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Now, am I making more than I made, like, with Premiere and the big contract that I had then? I'm not making as much, but I ain't doing bad. And the reason for that is simply this. Radio has run out of, it's run out of a reason to exist. And the people that run it don't give a shit. You know, all they want to do is take their money and run. So, I think Howard Stern is a seminal figure in the history of broadcasting. I've said this on the air, say it to you guys. He is a seminal figure. That means he's a historic figure. He is a game-changing figure. He is the single greatest entity that broadcasting has seen over the last 30 years in terms of all of that. And the reason why radio is dead today is because it did not take what Howard Stern was doing seriously. Oh, he's a phenomenon. He'll just go away. Radio did not embrace one of the major figures in the industry's history. And I'll go you one better. This will probably piss a lot of people off. Laura Schlesinger, whether you like her or not, Laura Schlesinger is the most successful female broadcaster in the history of radio. You think anybody in radio is going to say that? You think anybody in the radio business? Because the radio business has no real love of talent. They don't love talent. You know, the other night we had the Emmys. The Emmys is, that's to celebrate talent. Radio doesn't do that. They hate talent. Why do they hate talent? Because talent costs money. Why do they hate that? Because it takes away from all the money those bloodsuckers are making right at the top. So they won't admit that Howard Stern is an important figure. They won't admit that Laura Schlesinger, that, you know, that, yeah, all of that ugly shit that radio doesn't know what to do with. So they can do whatever the fuck they want. Why the fuck do I want to go back to radio and not make any goddamn money at all? And you can say all you want about the $100 million that Sean Hannity's making. The radio's paying the same amount of money to the same six guys that they've been paying it to for the last 10, 12, 13 years. The batting order hasn't changed at all. It's the same guys, so. Joshua, Phil, I heard your interview with Adam Carolla and thought it was fantastic. Any more plans to work with him? I don't work with him, and I don't really have any plans to be interviewed by him because that would be up to him. But I enjoyed it, and Adam's a good man, and he's a solid citizen. And, you know, what can you say? You know, you appreciate people that support you wherever they are. And Adam's great. And by the way, Adam Carolla is a guy that took the art of the podcast, put it onto the digital platform, and is making an enormous amount of money with his podcast. So you have really the two most important figures in audio entertainment, if you will, today, along with maybe with Howard, maybe three, Adam Carolla and Mark Maron. Mark Maron had the President of the United States come to his house and talk to him in Mark's fucking garage, you know. Radio hasn't been able to do that. That's why radio is irrelevant. That's why radio is a stepson, a stepsister, a redheaded, toe-headed, fucked-up stepkid who's getting his ass kicked. All right. Okay, Apathy tells me that Stern is going to set up a website with archive subscription. Good for him. He's got the archives, I'll tell you that. If you can get a hold of your material and hold on to it, and, you know, then, brother, you are the man. Luke D. Dean or Dean Wheeler, Bob Green or Green? D-E-A-N-E, Luke. And for Bob Green, it's G-R-E-E-N. So the Dean Wheeler, the first name of Dean Wheeler is spelled really weird. The last name of Bob Green is spelled normal. Matt Mirione, Stern is a fave of mine, but Phil was ahead of the curve on the digital format. Well, now what I'll do is if Stern goes digital, I'm going to wait and see what he does and copy his ass, because he'll probably have... I'm going to tell you guys this, and you should hear this. This website that we have come to know and love over the last 2 years is about to go through another major change, and it's going to be profound, and it's going to be one that, you know, quite frankly, one that is going to be the best possible platform for our material that we've ever conceived of. And it is going to be a brighter place. It's going to have lots and lots of backup, and it's going to have lots and lots of sensible, you know, linking to different places. Everything's going to make more sense than it ever has before. I like our website. It's always in a continual process, if you will, of being improved or improving. And I think the website, this next few months, before the end of the year, is going to go through a series of changes that you're going to really like, I believe. Let's see, George McFly, radio personalities, the last 30 is Phil Howard, Steve Dahl, Kevin Matthews, and Mavis Leonard. That's pretty good. George, you from Chicago? Kevin Matthews. Kevin Matthews. He cracks me up, man. Scott says I should do Marin's show monthly. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, although I've done it twice, and I'm really happy to have done it. Kept the Adam Carolla podcast and still replay it every few days. It's still relevant and wonderful to listen every time. Thanks, Bryn, very much. Wayne Alley, Phil, what is your second and third favorite tequilas? I'm really digging those Mexican mules. Thanks for turning me on to them. I asked this earlier in the chat and would really like to know. Sorry if I'm repeating. Sorry about the loss of your brother. I'm also 321 cat shit. All right. Wayne, you asked me about my three favorite tequilas? Oh, second and third? My second is Patron Silver. And my third is one called, it's an I learned about it in the Rocky Mountains at the Aspen Comedy Festival. And it was a silver tequila. I don't even remember it now. So if I were in the store today and somebody asked me, well, where are you going to go for your third tequila? I would go for Corralillo and a Blanco, and I'd shove a whole bunch of jalapeno peppers in it. Okay, that's my third favorite tequila. What I have taken to doing lately, Wayne, is literally just chopping the jalapenos up and throwing them into the bottom of the mule, throw in your ice, throw in your tequila, throw in your ginger beer, toss in some lime juice. That motherfucker's a badass drink. And then as you refill it, keep the same peppers in there so they keep kind of, you know, marinating in the tequila. Let's see, Tina, listening to the police scanner from Skagit County. Boy, that is a really exciting night. What the hell? King Cap is talking some shit. I don't understand what you're saying there, King. Richard, did they catch the shooter yet, Tina? Tina, I have a couple of scanners. Do they still have Mervin stores in Southern California? Rory, you're asking about Mervin's in Southern California? I do not know. Scott, awesome. Can't wait to see what you do next. You're going to love this fucking website. So you better hold on to your subscription, because this motherfucker is about to go off the launch pad. And I mean that. It's about to go off the goddamn launch pad, and it's about to have features and facets and things to do and places to go that we have not done up to this point. We're about to become 21st century. We're about to become state of the art. We're about to become state of the business. And there you go. All right, we have here Scott. P.S. Bust out our Santa Cruz beanie once in a while. Oh, Scott from Santa Cruz. Good man. You know what, dude? You're right. I will. Next week. Scott and his wife came to see me in Southern California at the Hollywood Improv and brought me a Santa Cruz beanie. Thank you, man. I hope life is good for you. I hope you and your lady are doing well, Scott. Thank you. And I will do that. And we hope to see you back down here sometime. Charlie, George, speaking of, been listening to a lot of Phil's old comb-over bits lately. Bernie G., does anyone else think it's a little strange how they caught the bomber in New Jersey so quick? Why do you say that, Bernie? Christian, I don't own a gun and never will. No, that's Tina. I'm sorry. Tina, I don't own a gun and I never will. Rory, Bernie, he fell asleep in someone's alley or doorway or something and they called the cops. That's what they say happened, Bernie, as you know. Jeff says, Bernie, you're talking Jersey. It's a Jersey thing. It is a pretty amazing piece of police work, right? The dude's asleep in a doorway, and a cop walks up on him, and it happens to be the bomber. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it's an amazing piece of police work. It's just, it's amazing. I would never in a million fucking years ever suggest that that dude was set up by somebody else. Never would I say that. All right. All right, some cool comments are coming in about my tequila here. Alexis, Jesus. Three deceased females, two males, one in critical, the other. Well, that's the shooting, Alexis, but we're looking for the capture of this guy. Scott, that drink will blow out your O-ring. Talking about this fucking tequila I'm drinking. Paul, holy hell, peppers and tequila? That sounds awesome. Paul, you got to do it, man. It's fucking fantastic. You take a bottle of Coraleo Silver, pull that cork out, jam in six jalapeno, peppers, fresh ones, and leave them there for 30 days. Do not do the following thing, though. You know, I usually drink a double. I doubled up that pepper tequila one night, and I thought my guts were going to freaking burn in my stomach. I was like, oh, fuck. I mean, forget it. You won't be able to take it. Nobody I know can drink a drink a double of that goddamn jalapeno tequila. But I'll tell you something, it's the most delicious goddamn thing you ever had in your life. And if you don't like tequila, that may be the tequila that you want, because it is really tasty. So that's where it is. So I would say, in answer to that other question I had, which is a really cool question, you know, what are your three favorite tequilas? I would say definitely Don Julio Silver, Patron Silver. Oh, you know, and Cabo Wabo. My fourth favorite would be any tequila that has had six jalapeno peppers in it for 30 days, you know, it's probably something you can handle. Apathy, 2673. Mr. Henry, a random audio button would be cool for the new site. Random audio. All right, now that's a very cool idea, man. But I'll tell you this, Apathy, we are thinking along the lines that you're thinking. We are thinking of having, for instance, Steve Dooley and the fact that he, we were talking about it today, Steve Dooley and the fact that Steve Dooley, some proclivity, like, you know, he can't get it up when he's not in LA County. We do a show, feature that show, and then we link to every single Steve Dooley show that he couldn't get it up in LA County. So in other words, we provide a search engine that links you to the specific features of a character, if that's what you want. Every single show where that feature is featured. If we're able to do that, and that has to do, of course, with our search engine. But I think it is something we'll be able to do, because most of the show logs contain pretty particular information. Vilified, ever had a prairie fire? Tequila and hot sauce. Sounds fucking awesome. I have not. Sounds fucking awesome. God damn. Jeff, if it was here in California, he would get food stamps, welfare, paid education, and a soy latte enema before questioning. Talking about the suspect in the shooting. Wayne Alley, thanks for the tequila information. You got it, brother. James Kaufman, Scott, is that a real medical condition? Scott, I'm going nowhere. Here's William Winningham. Well, hell, you just contradicted yourself about terrestrial on Stern. You're an incredible talent. Marin bores the fuck out of us. You're bigger than him and Corolla. Watch out for Rogan. I guess it's all about what sheep will pay for, sheep. As opposed to the sheep listening to the shit that you pump out, William? What are you on? What kind of dog shit do you do, man, that people won't even, probably won't even pay for it? Right? You know, you just, basically, you indicted yourself. You're number one, 2554 in Shitburg, East Tennessee. That's good, man. I've been where you've been, okay? I'm telling you where the business is. If you want to keep sucking the dick of general managers and owners and promotion people and whatever it is you think you're doing, you keep on doing that. You want to put down people who are actually making a dollar directly from their listeners. That's what we're doing. I go to my listeners and I say, here's the product. Do you want to pay for it? And you call them sheep? What do you call the motherfuckers that listen to the dog shit you're pumping out, man? William Winningham of Eastern Tennessee. Fuck you, man. I tell you what. When you're on the air on Monday, think of those people that are listening to your piece of shit show as sheep. And then tell them that if you have the fucking balls, because you just called my people sheep, right? People who discern with their own money what they want to listen to, as opposed to some poor motherfucker who's trapped in his car and someone flips your piece of shit show on and they're trapped having to listen to your dog shit for the last next half hour as they're being taken to work by some fucking grandmother. So the next time you shit all over my listeners or shit over people that subscribe to what I do or Adam Carolla or Howard or anybody, think about the sheep that listen to your shit. Okay, and just how loyal are they? They're not paying for it. They just pop in and out. What's your time spent listening, man? What's your TSL? And at number one that you have, is that something that you got by way of the people meter, or is that from the Arbitron diary? How are they rating radio these days? In what manner are they rating radio so they can lie to advertisers and essentially lie to advertisers and essentially steal money from those advertisers with faulty numbers or numbers that are not real? You know, I can dig what you're saying, man, but, you know, look, you have to understand, I've been doing this shit, and I mean, and I do mean shit, for a fucking, you know, 40 fucking years, so it's cool. Do whatever you want to do. But anytime anybody wants to dump all over what I do for a living, or they want to shit all over what I consider to be the future of this medium, which is digital, and they really haven't brought their big boy fucking jockstrap with them to do it, all you're telling me is you're number one in people 2554 in Eastern Tennessee, which means this, basically. You don't have anybody listening to you, man. Doesn't mean shit, okay? I can show you the fucking numbers of people that pay hard money to listen to me. Now, there isn't anything more valuable to an advertiser than that. Not only do I have subscribers, but during our free podcast, we have advertisers. Because after 40 motherfucking years, I finally figured out how it was that the GMs and the program directors and the owners of this world were fucking us up the ass every day that we were on the air. Now, you want to live with that, that's your job. I don't want to live with that. Sorry if I'm being vociferous. But there are times when vociferousness is called for. You know, there are times when vociferousness is called for, and there are times when you have to, we got to quit in our business, whatever this goddamn business is, we have to quit targeting each other, because I read people putting down Rush Limbaugh. I don't like Rush's politics, but I admire what he does as an entertainer. I hear people putting down Howard Stern. They don't like his free-form, wacky shit, whatever the fuck. Howard has endeavored to transcend radio, the traditional radio, and do something different, because he knows what I know. He knows that radio is a fucking dead thing on the beach. You know? But what I'm trying to do, and what a lot of people are trying to do, is leave that dead thing on the beach and go off and do something else. And in the process, figure out better ways to make money at it. You know, but I'll tell you this, and I said this the other day, and then I'll leave you guys alone. TV just had the Emmy Awards, and they feat their talent. Television, they love to give awards. Here is our talent. Let's give them an award. Here's another talent. You think there's anything in fucking radio that does that? I mean, based on talent, not on ratings. You can go to the Academy Awards and see an Academy Award given to a movie that didn't get anybody watching it. You can see an Academy Award given to a film that nobody went to see, that was a fucking stiff at the box office, but the Academy says, this is a pretty good movie. And they do the same thing in television. You know, Hill Street Blues is the classic example of that. And they do the same thing in literature. Only radio shits all over its fucking talent because it doesn't make them money. Talent makes them money. The problem is the assholes that are designated as the people to go out and sell radio can't do the fucking job. They don't know how to do the job. They've never known how to do the job. And when they fuck their job up, the people that get blamed, talent. They don't like us. They've never liked us. They have contentious relationships with most talent. Ask them if they're honest. They'll tell you it's true. General managers, the same fucking thing. I don't give a shit. You can have a general manager tell you 50 times a day he's getting his dick sucked by his morning man. Oh, we got a great fucking relationship. Bullshit. You got a guy who's just playing some fucking game because he figures he has to. In no other business do they hate the talent like they do in radio. Now, you asked, I'm telling you, man, so sorry for the truth. You know, the truth as I see it. I recognize that maybe it's not the end-all be-all, but, you know, the truth as I see it. All right. Sorry, guys. See you Monday. Big changes coming. Big events, big things. Big stuff. Big time. Big show. Big box office.
Oh, it's big.